Hello, and welcome to the Architects of Destination Advocacy podcast from Destinations International, the trade association representing destination organizations around the globe, brought to you exclusively by Relic Agency as part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andreas Weisenborn, and welcome you for checking out our podcast. For each episode, we want to tell the story of both usual and unusual suspects in our sector's history and the key advocacy moments for them. These stories are meant to tell the tale in full, covering many of our strategic issues and opportunities our sector faces, whether it be community alignment, destination stewardship, resilience, or actions based on values. We hope you listen in and learn from your peers. With that, let's get to the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Before we get on to today's show and today's guest, I want to say a massive thank you to everyone who joined us about a few weeks ago, by the time you're hearing this, in Little Rock, Arkansas for our Fall Learning Week. It was wonderful getting a chance to meet and see so many of you there at our Advocacy Summit or any of the other following events. And today's show is actually going to be a special continuation of it, because my guest, Jack Johnson, and I shared the stage many times during Fall Learning Week, and we want to spend some of the time today actually talking about and addressing everything we released, which I've dubbed the "We Released a Lot of Cool Things with a Lot of Cool People in a Really Cool Place" episode, and we kind of want to bring that true to life. So welcome back to the show. A man who needs no introduction, Jack Johnson. Welcome back.
Andreas, thank you. It's been way too long.
It has. So first and foremost, how was Fall Learning Week and Advocacy Summit for you in Little Rock?
Outstanding. I think we've really hit our stride. Everyone seemed to connect. I've gotten numerous messages about the many takeaways that people have gotten from the event. The new stuff that we introduced seemed to resonate. The classics that we do have, Adam Sachs and Amir coming on stage and updating basically from last year, always resonates. I thought Little Rock really bent over backwards to put on a great event. And it's our first time we got to use a presidential library, which is kind of cool.
Oh, it was cool. I mean, I do think this is our, let's see here, going back to 2017, I don't think of any advocacy summit or Destinations International event that we have released so much stuff in a short succession. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think we ever have.
No. It wasn't the original plan, but it just kind of worked out that way.
No, it wasn't. And I said it's something we were excited to do because there's a lot of great things released from this stage. So for purposes today, we are going to address four key things, but please note that is not limited to everything we did put out there. A couple highlights I did want to talk about before we get into the main show. Two prominent releases, one being our latest, our 2023 Tourism Lexicon released. The United States, Canada, also in French, and then Australia and United Kingdom, along with our latest resident sentiment research we do in partnership with Longwoods International, all currently available at the Destinations International website.
But point out, interrupt, because it's actually Canadian French, not just French.
You're right. And those who caught me on stage got to see me very diligently try to speak it in French to somewhat of avail. But thank you, Jack.
Well, the Canadian French always tell me they speak it correctly. So
I'll agree with them.
And also thanks to the resident sentiment study by Longwoods. They extended their survey, so we actually were able to use some of their material for the boycott and ban session. So
yes,
I'm really happy about that.
Absolutely. So let's take us back. So actually go back to the very first day of Advocacy Summit, and that was that Tuesday night. And why don't you start us off, Jeff, at actually telling us what was the theme of this Advocacy Summit, and then lead that into what we actually you released first and foremost as the first session for Advocacy Summit.
We built off what we talked about the previous year, which is we were going to spend the next year telling the world, anyone who would listen, that travel promotion and the professionals that work in the travel industry are essential. They are absolutely necessary and they are very important. And took people back to the beginning of time, the evolution or the creation of the human foot, and why it really shows that travel's been with us from the very beginning. The idea that the history of humankind is actually the history of travel. We brought that forward, hit all the points that we've been making here, there, and everywhere. We've added and updated a couple points about the purpose of a destination organization being to leverage the power of destination promotion to achieve the community's goals. And then our first release, which was the Destination Promotion a catalyst for community vitality wheel, the community, the what do we call it? The community vitality wheel.
Community vitality wheel, yes.
Which I'm happy. It took much longer to produce than we thought, but we basically began with the classic concept from More Gas, which is if you build a place that people want to visit, then you've built a place where people want to live. And if you built a place where people want to live, you've built a place where people want to work. And if you built that place where people want to work, then you've built a place where business has to be. Or as we put it now, where business and residents will invest. And then if you've done that, then you're back at the beginning again, because you've built a place where people want to visit. What I've always zeroed in on, and too often it's not included, is that very last line that she said, which is it all begins with a visit, and that visit doesn't happen without us. Mm-hmm. And it's that without us part I've always wanted to show. So the creation of the wheel is basically taking the circle that we've always shown Maura's statement as and actually put movement to it, which is what the purpose of a destination organization is through its brand management, its brand storytelling, through its sustainability practices, its stewardship activities within the community, the leading effort they have in leaving investment in the visitor and frankly resident infrastructure, from parks to hotels to attractions to restaurants to just streets and buses and hospitals and universities. And then finally, the more traditional promotional and sales elements that we engage in. And then talking about how that moves the wheel, which starts this whole thing going and keeps this thing going. So it does still start with a visit, but you've got to keep that wheel going. But also introducing the concept that you also have to manage the speed of the wheel, because if that Yep. wheel is moving too quickly, you're going to get things like poorly managed tourism or over-tourism, as some say. You face depletion of your resources. If the wheel's not moving fast enough or too slowly, you're going to probably have economic stagnation, and your community's going to lose out on investment and capital improvement opportunities. So getting that fine right temperature, that right speed that changes throughout the year, depending on what your needs are, is really what makes us who work in this industry really the professionals. And like in most cases, you should listen to professionals.
Yeah, well said. And so to follow up on that, Jack, how do you see the community vitality wheel sort of connecting with the other pantheon of work we've done here? More importantly, community shared value and the cornerstone, more or less.
They're integral, which is why when we presented the wheel, I went through those four questions we asked, because it really is about the community. Everyone kind of zeroes in on it. It starts with a visit. That's critical, but it's where it ends, which is really the actual beginning again, which is people in the community and businesses investing in the community. The whole focus is on the vitality of the community. And so it fits perfectly into everything we've been saying since what, 2019 or so, mm-hmm. In terms of the focus. I mean, I think one thing I've always loved about Maura's original quote is it, why everyone is, like I said, focuses on the visit. It really is a storyline about the community. It's the community investment that gets it really kind of going in the first place. It's what the brand is built off of, the community. And you go through the stages, but it's expanding the community by bringing people in, that, you know, how it invigorates a community. It brings in new talent, new residents, new business, new investments. It's all about the community, which really goes back to the core element, which is this is how we leverage the power of destination promotion to improve the community. But it's also why what we do is so important to everyone else in the community. So whether it's investment in things that are going to be used by local residents, whether it's park trails or the roads or sports facilities or the restaurants, all that is maybe made possible by visitors, but it's thoroughly enjoyed by residents. But it's also just that whole experience. The reason we travel, you get that same effect when people travel to you. So it's being a host is as important as being a visitor. So yeah, it all ties back to everything we've said.
Yeah, absolutely. And just for the audience, we are describing a literal graphic. So it's actually on our website right now at destinationsinternational.org. Again, one of the coolest things I think I love when we present something like this is, one, seeing people take pictures to it, and then second, coming right up afterward and saying, this is great. I can't wait to include it in my destination organization or DMO CVB 101 that I have to do for my stakeholders. And now you gave me a way to graphically represent that. So I think that's something cool and something we're really proud of to actually put out there for that. So
yeah, I really love the way the Australians used it the other day, which is to really pull out all the statistics about how many people were more likely to invest, how many people were more likely to move, all of that that came out of their activities, which all kind of ties back into that. You know, you've built that place where people want to live, to work, and to invest in.
Absolutely. So that's the first big release for the audience. So that, again, that is our community vitality wheel that's available on the website. And we're going to segue with that term vitality. And I'm going to take most of this one on to actually our next big tentpole research project. So this is actually going to be a sequel that we're excited about. So in 2014, the association put out Destination Promotion, an Engine for Economic Development. It was a huge study for us. Jack, actually, your time in Chicago, I'll ask about that, actually was one of the main destinations in the study itself. And it had a huge impact on really cementing the question of, is destination promotion economic development? And it firmly said, yes. It had a tremendous amount of legs for it. We've used it and used a lot of the graphics and insights from it as part of it. And it was something we were excited to return to this year. Now, one thing we did realize is that as times have changed, we really wanted to get beyond just simply economic influence of destination promotion and destinationalizations. We knew, I'm sure everyone listening to this understands, the impact of destinationalizations is wide and vast beyond just economic, that they're social, cultural, altruistic influences of a community. And really that talks about the vitality of a community. So we are excited to announce the return of the research project, now dubbed Destination Promotion, a catalyst for community vitality. And with that, in partnership with Tourism Economics, Longwoods International, Clarity of Place, MMGY Next Factor, all joining in that to help us produce a massive research project in this area as part of it. I want to talk a little bit about it, but Jack, since you were one of the destinations part of the 2014 study, I did want to ask you, what was your initial thoughts and just the impact of the study as a member at the time during that duration?
I still remember the initial presentation. At that point, they were doing fundraising on it. So half of the report was underwritten by the Destinations International Foundation or its predecessor. And the other half was raised through support given by individual destination organizations, in my case, Choose Chicago. And as it was explained to me, I'm like, that's exactly what I need. That's what I really need to talk to stakeholders, to elected officials, the press, yep. Everyone. And I've used that report the whole time I was there. And when I came to Destinations International, it was one of the things on my list to update that report. I think it's important to say two things first. One is the challenge we gave the team was basically to prove the graphic is true. So there's a link between the graphic that we released and what the report will be when we release it in January. The second thing, though, is there was, the opinion of the Chicago press community, which has always been somewhat hostile or antagonistic. I could use that report with elected officials and community stakeholders and people within my industry and the planning commission and with the economic development folks, but I couldn't take it to the press because they would have asked, did you help underwrite this report? And I would have to say yes, and they would immediately discount it. So this version of the report, I am pleased to say, is being totally underwritten by the foundation with help from some pro bono work that's being thrown in by the team members. So I'm very grateful for that. But every destination will be able to use this, and it will be compromised because it was underwritten by specific destinations.
Yeah, and that's a great point, not only the support of the foundation, but two of the main outputs we're excited about. This is one is just simply industry level vitality data for us as a sector. The second is actually then deep dives into 10 destinations of varying sizes, capacities, responsibility, geography, as part of that deep dive that we're excited to showcase as part of it. Again, we fully expect this to be a long form study for us that we want to take on the road, most particularly take to the U.S. Conference of Mayors, start taking to the state governors and so on and so forth. again, the original theme here, right, that we are essential, vital, necessary for a community. We see this as fundamentally answering that and tying back to the wheel, as Jack described. But before I move on from that particular study, a little bit of timeline. We're right now, our timeline is actually to put out in beginning of 24 to the membership as part of it. And then you will see us continue the stories of the different destination organizations within it throughout the year, culminating through not only, you know, annual convention, advocacy summit, and so forth. But anything, Jackie, else you want to add on the study itself before the next release?
Just that, I mean, I still think the 2011 study is still very relevant. It's just dated by the date that it was done, but the takeaways are still very, very relevant and still true. I suspect this will also have similar legs in terms of time, but we are making a commitment not to wait so long next time to update the study. So this will hopefully become one of the regular studies along with the Destinations International Future Study that will become regular outputs by the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is the second one. So again, right now, many of you just saw that in person in slides only, but I assure you much more and much larger amounts of information that to come very quickly. So the third one, and actually appreciate everyone who bought shirts for this one, but that is actually Destination Effect, which Jack and I agree is fundamentally real here about this. But we brought on stage Tempest to address our next destination organization awareness campaign. This is something that has been, Jack and I are extremely passionate about. The long and short is we want to draw maximum attention in the PR space to destination organizations. Jack, you obviously joined Alex and Greg on stage, but just want to hear your take. And I know you've had a long envisionment of a PR campaign for destination organizations for quite a while. So I'll let you take it from there for a bit.
Yeah, it's important to understand that the infographic that we release, the report that's being put together by that team on the catalyst for community vitality is kind of like the backbone that plays into this next part, which is our advocacy campaign that will actually promote what it is destination organizations do. I've always said, and I think many people agree, that the biggest problem we have is most people don't know what it is we do, and they don't know why we're so essential. And we need to tell them that, but we need to tell them a story over and over again. And we need to tell it from different points of views and different levels. So the idea here is to create an advocacy campaign that would release throughout the year periodically toolkits that local destination organizations could use at their level. And we would be equaling that message at a very national level, pushing out to the mainstream press, pushing out directly to elected officials. We have the ability to do that, to rally the whole industry around key dates and stuff that we celebrate. One of the goals is perhaps to create a destination organization day within National Tourism Weeks that are held in the United States and Canada. We tried this once before, and we produced some good stuff, but not great stuff, and wasn't very scalable, as it were. So we went back to the drawing board. I think it was important to say, okay, we have the concepts. We know what has to be done. I just need to find someone who can actually get us there. And like with that report where we brought in that team of Tourism Economics, Longwoods, Clarity of Place, and MMGY, Next Factor, in this case, we're bringing on Tempest, a long supporter of ours, really do outstanding work in the area, along with many of our other partners, but in the area of web development. So brought them on. They came up with the concept of Destination Effect, which I love. We released the logo at the Advocacy Summit. But what this will be is an interactive website that we can send anyone to. The last thing we really dawned on us really need is elected officials coming to Destination International site. Our site is designed for our members. It's not designed for the outside world. So this will be an outside world facing website. It will have case studies. It will take the aspects of the report, break it up, showcase it. It will have tools that you can use in terms of infographics, opinion pieces, outreach to your stakeholders, your legislators, your elected officials, your policymakers, comprehensive package that will just have wave after wave after wave coming out, telling people those four basic points, which is what it is we are, what it is we do and how well we do it. And that is exciting. It's a major undertaking. Anyone who has built a website kind of understands that. But the idea is that this is an interactive website where destinations will actually be able to upload stories of their own, download tools and kits that they can use. But we hope to get to the point where you'll actually be able to upload some basic information and us produce for you a destination effect statement, maybe a two-pager for max, that then you can take to your stakeholders, to your policymakers, to your elected officials, and explain literally what it is you do and how well you're doing it.
And to connect the thread here, you already mentioned it, but the research study is to prove the wheel is in fact true, and the research insights that come out of the Catalyst report get pushed out in messaging to the Destination Effect campaign. So they all tie together as part of it. Just to hit it home, actually, if anyone's interested in starting the conversation with it, the website is actually up, although it's just a very narrow homepage with our logo, but it's actually at destinationeffect.com. We're actually, what we're describing it is a movement. That's something we're fundamentally behind here, is actually the movement and the platform of destination organizations as being essential to the community. Again, that's it. Go ahead, Jack.
No, that's an important thing that I forgot. Movement is correct. One of the things from my political days is, you know, I would always point out that money can win an election, but organization can beat money. And the only thing that beats organization and money is a movement. So that's why we're taking this approach, falling back on politics 101, which is develop a movement that people get behind, that's cross all borders and is bipartisan in nature, things based on concepts that everyone can get behind. And really develop an understanding and a support level for destination organizations.
Yep. And just again, if you guys want to join the movement, it's actually live right now at destinationeffect.com. It will just be a narrow homepage, but you'll actually see a link in there to join the movement. So fourth and final one to come up here. And again, this is another one that we have been working on and toying with for probably a little bit over 2 years. And that's the idea and concept of a destination promotion community index or indicator. We have written about this for multiple years now. You've probably seen a lot of fun blogs with us around bees, maple syrup, power companies, the lot of it. But the long and short of it is a question I've heard you mention lots of times, Jack, is that if I ask a community, what is their graduation rate for their school system? You very easily and quickly understand how well that school, that community is performing in that core common good. Same thing could be said about power companies, credit ratings, financial, every other common good, every other public good has those very succinct metrics and, you know, or an index for the community to understand. I always point out, I have no idea what feeds into a credit rating, but I understand that a AAA rating is better than BBB. And if my community goes to BBB, it's going to have ramifications on my livelihood and my life. So we had been toying with this topic of how do we, for destination organizations and more importantly, destination promotion, develop our own indicator, our own index. So this work started a little bit over a year ago with the 2022 annual convention. We did our first Destinations International Foundation Challenge, where we posed this question to both 30 under 30s at the time and also industry veterans. Now, one of the things that came out of it and what we released at Advocacy Summit was our first industry brief on our findings of it. To describe what that was, what we quickly realized was we as a sector had long been giving metrics and KPIs that I would call very linear, logical, sequential, and they have served us for quite a long period of time. And they're important to emphasize that. And one of the key insights that really came from the 30 and the 30s and then the various focus groups we did outside of that was this need for more emotional, storied, a sense of belonging metrics and KPIs that we've sometimes not just brought to the forefront. And that really brought us to this concept of sort of a left brain and right brain approach of developing this. So when you go out there and put out your metrics or your KPIs, your indexes, you have to present both. So what that means is, you know, it's not just simply telling the story of your RevPAR or your occupancy, but also telling the story of your resident or visitor or business sentiment, right? Actually talking about some sense of prosperity in your community, accessibility, and all those type of things. Now, the question I do want to ask you, Jack, about this is obviously, I know how you've pointed to other common goods about those quick metrics and whatnot. What sort of dawned on you saying we need one of this ourselves for destination organizations, you know, for politicians to understand us?
I think it's important to understand that, we're not calling for new measurements. God knows our industry
yes.
probably has more measurements than any entity out there. It's just how we use them. The most telling moment was when we were watching a city council hearing when the city manager looked at the destination organization official there and said, you know, you have all these measurements and you believe in them and you stand by them, but we just don't understand them. And that's which got me looking around at dashboards that the community uses. And there were all these great indicators that they came up with based on X, Y, and Z. But they usually didn't have one for the travel industry. And if they did, it was the same ones we've been repeating over and over, which was, you know, how many visitors did we have and how much tax revenue did we raise? But there's no attempt to put any of that in kind of a perspective. I have no idea whether it's good to have 10 million visitors versus 12 million. And that was missing. With the other indicators, they told the story. They told me what the entity was, what they do, and told me how well they were doing it. And that's what that's what we needed. And I give you full credit for taking that and finding the inside of the left brain, right brain, which is absolutely brilliant. It's the piece that was missing. Yeah, the report that we released at Advocacy Summit really takes that topic on and really explains it incredibly well.
Now, one, thank you. But what we announced was actually twofold at Advocacy Summit. So first yes. and foremost was the industry brief itself, freely available on our website right now under Advocacy Resources. Again, I would consider that sort of the core findings and philosophy of trying to shift our mindset of metrics. As Jack mentioned, you are 100% correct. We have all the metrics in the world. It's just really the story we tell behind it. And point blank, if all we needed was RevPAR and occupancy and rate to carry us through, well, we would have been the most well-funded, well-respected, well-sought-after industry in the world, right? We'd have no problems. And that's obviously, I'm being joking here, but that's obviously not the case. So we need a new approach, point blank, as part of it. So one was just releasing the brief, but the second was very similarly was we knew that we also needed to find a way to build these models and put modelings into place to actually provide an execution for every destination, because every destination has their own unique indicators, and to build that into a modeling. So we were happy and pleased to both partner and introduce Zartico on the stage with us, Jay Kinghorn, their founder, joined us and actually walked through the next step of this project, which actually is modeling out what these indicators and KPIs can be. Not to spoil too much of it, but I wanted to get into a little bit of what he discussed and what we're planning to release in 24. So first and foremost is actually looking at quarterly releases of different styles of destinations and their corresponding community indicators. So going into, you know, youth, prominent youth sports-based destinations and what that means in terms of community development assets, going into prominent restaurant or foodie scenes or seasonal scenes, all these different little stories we want to tell and the intricacies of those metrics of why they matter. You know, for example, you know, why investing in maybe a youth amateur or like a little league sporting tournament matters to the community and so on and so forth. But then actually from there is also building out a scoring assessment of what these indicators could be. One of the things that Jay talked about on stage was not just looking and managing your visitor impact, your taxes, economic opportunity, the jobs, and the amenities that with that, but also understanding that you can't really have an indicator, an index that always goes up. You have to have something that actually measures it that could be a possible negative. And for our space, that really comes down a lot of times to crowding or often called over-tourism, you know, cost or inflation that go with it. And more importantly, especially for natural resources, degradation of place. You know, all of those things can hinder a community indicator if you're overwhelming or overbearing for any of those ones. What we're excited about is to actually start this project roadmap in 24 to actually start showing destination organizations how you can start developing your own indicator with some of these finer points. And then hopefully tie it to the other things we released here, tie this back to how this fits into the vitality wheel. And then we want to obviously showcase this through the Destination Effects awareness campaign. Jack, any comments or anything additional on that part of what we announced from there?
Yeah, I just want to underscore two things that you referenced. One is that each community is different. And you go back to the purpose of a destination organization, using the power of travel and travel promotion to meet its community's goals. Each community will have different goals. There may be similarity, there may be some overlap, but like each one is going to be unique. So this indicator would have the ability to be unique. It will be the things that are most important to your community. So that's important. Also, that it ties back to everything else we're releasing. They all are basically a line that pushes out to the public. But the second part is that it has to be an honest and trusted metric, which means it goes up and down. And if it goes down, that's not a bad thing. It just means you have to change something. And it could make you maybe need more funding. But it will be honest. And once you're honest and transparent like that, then you're trusted. And once you're trusted, you know, you have everyone on your side.
Absolutely. So that was a lot. I do have one final question for you, Jack, and it's a fun one, but where are we going to be for Advocacy Summit next year?
I'm excited, actually. We will be in Puerto Rico. My accent's not too good. Puerto Rico. beautiful location. We'll be near the rainforest, which is a national park. I love the idea that the hotel that we're using, half the rooms have a view of the beach and the ocean, and the other half of the rooms have this view of the rainforest. So we will be not only building off of what we did in Little Rock, but we'll also be introducing a lot of lessons that we can learn on site there in the arenas of sustainability, in the arena of outdoor and active tourism, in the ability of working with your federal and state or province or territorial government and the local governments. And it's also an interesting place in which that we will have the ability to see really, it's a beautiful location, easy to get to location, but it's also a small town. We're not in San Juan. So we'll have a different perspective than we've had in any of the other advocacy summits that we've done, and the fact that we will be in small communities. So really excited, looking forward to it.
Yep. So obviously everything today we talked about, including Advocacy Summit next year, is going to be on our website at destinationsinternational.org, outside of the Destination Effect, which you can start to look at destinationeffect.com. With that, thank you again for joining myself, Andreas Weisenborn, and Jack Johnson on this month's episode of The Architects of Destination Advocacy. Please make sure to subscribe within your podcast listening service to always catch the latest episode. To learn more about the work we do, please make sure to subscribe to our newsletter at destinationsinternational.org, or simply checking out our content throughout the advocacy section or blog at the website, or speaking at one of our upcoming events. Thank you, and we'll talk soon.